Brothers and sisters, Jesus lives. And joy will be found as we have, yes, bodies restored from the grave, but also will be in the presence of our God. David speaks of what real joy is. Real joy is not letting go of things in this world. Real joy is holding on to the presence and the love of God. And with that, enjoying all his blessings everlasting. For he says, "You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Can you fathom any other greater joy than this? God making everything new, and God himself being with you, and the risen Lord Jesus saying, "Here, take your inheritance prepared for you by my Father, the kingdom prepared since the creation of the world, and take it for all eternity, because you found refuge in me."
This message is from Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock, solid hope in Rim Country. April 12, 2026. Psalm 16.
Nobody knows exactly, or historians seem to debate, when he lived, but it was about the 4th to 6th century BC that a man we know by today as the Buddha began to teach about detachment from possessions, that you could somehow find a contentment or a degree of happiness or a new level of attainment just by detaching yourself from the things of this world and possessions. Of course, he was in the right direction, but he got something off. You can go several centuries, 5 to 6 centuries before his time, to another man named Solomon. And Solomon wrote of the same direction, but something very altogether different in achievement. See, Solomon also spoke about the emptiness of trying to attach yourselves to the things of this world. Only the difference is, Solomon wasn't so concerned about just detaching yourself from possessions and finding joy apart from the things of this world. No, he spoke of how you find no joy if you turn to the things of this world apart from God. See the difference. One taught you simply need to detach from this world. The other said this world is good, but it's meaningless. It's empty, without joy, if you hold on to it without God. That's what we'll consider today as we look in the scriptures, especially at Psalm 16, written by Solomon's father David, and inspired by the Spirit. And it's there we see how we find real joy. Yes, joy with the things God gives us and the blessings of this world, but blessings which are centered on and given through the Creator God. And it's through him that we find joy, and with him that we find everlasting joy. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, tested the theory that possessions could bring you joy. And he kind of accounts for us how he tested that. He said, "I undertook great projects, I built houses, I planted vineyards, I made gardens, I planted all kinds of trees and fruits, I made reservoirs to grow water groves and flourishing trees, I bought male and female servants, and I had slaves born in my household, I owned more herds and flocks than anyone before me, I amassed silver and gold, I acquired male and female singers, a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater, far greater than anyone before. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired." That was his experiment. But did chasing after all this give him joy? "Yet when I surveyed all my hands had done, what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He probably learned some of that from his father, David. David spoke of the emptiness of life. Only Solomon had to experience that emptiness for himself. In Psalm 16, David says very clearly that God alone is the source of our joy. He says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." Notice he's turning to the Lord God, who he takes security in. That idea of finding refuge is a picture of faith and a picture of being secure. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. This doesn't mean David doesn't find delight in this world, but he says, apart from the Lord, what good is everything? Or as his son Solomon would say, it's all meaningless if it's just life under the sun. Where is the joy in that? And he says, I save the holy ones, the people who are in the land, they are the ones I delight. And those who run after other gods, they're gonna suffer. Those who pour out their offerings on other gods will run into trouble after trouble. See, David delights in the Lord and in the fellowship of God's people and finds blessings centered only on the Lord. Do we find that much to be true? Does your life look like you have no good thing apart from the Lord? Think of all the things you could add up, your inheritance or your property and possessions. Isn't it just empty without the Lord? Because it ends up being, no matter how great of a possession or land that you have, nothing in the end. You'll face death. And in the end, you can't hold on to it. And without the Lord, does any degree of knowledge or understanding get you anywhere? Solomon would go on to that next. He said, I pursued all wisdom, but apart from the Lord, even attaining a career or an ability or an understanding of this world, all that knowledge didn't give me any extra benefit. David also would add, apart from the Lord, we have real no understanding of what it is to be joyful or to live the way God intends or to have his joy. And without the Lord, you can go on, you can see we have no security, we have no lasting blessing, we have ultimately the realm of the dead, and our bodies see decay. Think about the things we chase after, our wealth, our careers, our hobbies, our interests. Do they give you joy? Maybe for a time. Like Solomon, we can try to amass it for ourselves and think that it's going to bring us joy, but it's not going to bring lasting joy. The joy is sucked right out of every activity, every possession, every attainment, as we ponder the fact that we are going to face death. And not only are we going to face death, we are going to be separated from the presence of the Creator, the Holy God, forever, and left outside of his mercies to suffer in the grave and in the place of torment unknown to us now. But then David points us to where we find our joy. He says, Lord, apart from you, I have no good thing. You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. And then David doesn't detach himself from the things of this life and this world. He doesn't say possessions are evil or you just have to be willing to recognize things are impermanent. No, he says, Lord, you have given me boundary lines and they've fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a delightful inheritance. David recognizes God's given him a possession. It's a place where he can live and be secure. And if you're wondering, well, I may not feel like I have that or have had it, or some people don't have an inheritance that makes them feel secure. David is talking about a lasting security, the one that Jesus told his disciples when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it's a place that Jesus says, I will come back alive and I will bring you there so you may also be there. God has a possession, an inheritance in store for his people. One which the inheritance in the land of Canaan only foreshadowed for God's people in ancient times, but one that you possess. Doesn't that give a joy that far surpasses the things we might chase after to hold onto and possess in this life? And then David goes on, he has more than a possession. He says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Of all the knowledge and things that you might try to attain, they will be lost as your mind slows down and as your body slowly decays and as you return to the grave. But God gives us, he says, instruction and counsel. He sends his Holy Spirit. The same Jesus, before he went to the cross, told his disciples, I will send you the counselor, and he will remind you of everything. And the apostles recorded the words of Christ. And David can say that, yes, God, he instructs me as he pours out his Spirit, and I know the truth of his word. This is what gives us joy. Not the knowledge that we try to attain in this life and this world, but the knowledge of knowing God through his Son. And knowing what God has promised and done. And knowing he lives to send his Spirit to us and instruct us. David says, "My eyes are always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." What's your purpose in life? What's your resolve or your aim in life? If someone were to say, "What are you living for?" You might have a resolve, like many people do, to have a good career or a healthy body or family. But in the end, apart from the Lord, what good is that resolve or that aim? David's resolve is this: "My eyes are on the Lord. And with him at my right hand, I'm unshakable, untoppable. With my goals in life all centering around giving thanks and serving him, my joy can't be depleted. My goals are already attained in Christ, and I have my heavenly goal." David says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." So that fear that everything you've attained, everything that you possess and hold is gone because you face death, it's turned around. David says, "This is what the Lord consoles me. This is what the Lord instructs me in, and this is what I have with my possession. I will not remain in the grave." Now we could pause here, and there's a little bit of a problem. Where is the joy for David when he did go to the grave? As we heard Peter saying, we can say with full confidence, David did die and was buried. And for centuries, they knew where his tomb was near Jerusalem. But David, as Peter reminds us, was a prophet. And he spoke of the one who was going to come. Jesus, the Son of God, came. And Jesus did not find his hope in the things of this world. He knew his inheritance was secure as he trusted in the Father. And he knew that as he put his resolve on serving the Father, his eyes were always on keeping that goal. And as Jesus approached the cross, he knew that the Lord, his Father, would not abandon him to the grave, but that he would raise his Son back to life. And that on the third day, he would show himself as he did to his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." And that means David and you and all who have this gospel can now say, "The Lord will not abandon me to the grave. He will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, but rather I will have joy. Not merely an ethereal joy separated from material possessions, but one in which I have a body restored from that decay, because God will not leave me in the grave. His Son rose to life, and my Heavenly Father will raise me and all the dead, and he will give me something incomprehensible as he restores me and all this world, and my boundary lines will be in a pleasant place at that time in the new creation. You have come, brothers and sisters, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of God, and you have an inheritance, instruction, and hope." So David says, bespeaking what God has given him, "You make known to me the path of life." It's found in Jesus, who said to us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The path to life is found through taking refuge in him and through faith in him and his promises. The path of life is not yourself trying to attain some higher level, but it's found in trusting the one who faced death for us and who fulfilled the prophecies, not seen decay, who kept his eyes on the goal and on the third day declared his victory. That is the path of life, the only path of life. And apart from our risen Lord, we have no good thing. And so he says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." Brothers and sisters, Jesus lives. and joy will be found as we have, yes, bodies restored from the grave, but also will be in the presence of our God. David speaks of what real joy is. Real joy is not letting go of things in this world. Real joy is holding on to the presence and the love of God, and with that, enjoying all his blessings everlasting. For he says, "You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Can you fathom any other greater joy than this? God making everything new, and God himself being with you, and the risen Lord Jesus saying, "Here, take your inheritance prepared for you by my Father, the kingdom prepared since the creation of the world, and take it for all eternity, because you found refuge in me." And the Father saying, "You are blessed through my Son, and sit and find joy everlasting." Brothers and sisters, his banner is clear. It's written above us. It's found in Scripture. It's love. And it's found with everlasting joy. Amen. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.